Hey, Connie is attending in jammies. Yep, they're nice pajamas.
They're my Christmas plaid.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Connie has been feeling a little bit under the weather, so she's going to participate or not as she feels. Woo, she's buttoning up, baby. yeah.
Excuse me.
Mom said she was going to join by radio.
Hey,
Marge. Yeah, she's got the blue screen of death, so we'll see if she makes it through that. On her computer, when you get a blue screen, a good thing, that's what they call. Anyway.
Okay. All right, good. I thought maybe she was ill, too.
No, that's not what I meant to indicate, but I thought that might sound like that. We are here for Growing with NTI, and before we start,
we're going to do a song first or a prayer. Let tonight's teaching be exactly what we all need to hear. We all want to hear your words. We're all listening intently. Thank you for the opportunity to teach what I want. Thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you, Connie. I took that call because it was from a neighbor who I don't hear from very often, and she said, there's something smoldering on your back porch. Ooh, it's the dryer. It's the warm dryer air.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I said, but anytime you call. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So.
You know where we are, Jacqueline?
I do. We are on page 434. NTI, 1 Peter, chapter 5. We read the first couple of sentences out of that chapter, but we said we'd back up and just start from the beginning of that tonight.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
Okay. Okay. You are the leader of your own awakening. Lead yourself not by guilt, but by willingness. Yeah, that seems simple enough, except that's not what we normally do. Normally, you know, and we've talked about this, normally we want to fit that, our spiritual practice into our little bag of standards that we have, that this guy's going to go, well, you're not doing it right. How much did you meditate today?
It's always that voice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's either that voice for me or that voice for you. Jacqueline would come home and she'd say something that was purely of the ego, and I'd go, "What the hell? You're supposed to be enlightened by now."
And I would say that's an awful lot of pressure. Hey, Debbie Took.
Hey, Debbie Took.
yeah. So again, we tend to do this the same way we do. We tend to do awakening the same way we do everything else, which is by letting the ego lead. So when it says you're the leader in your own awakening, it does not mean your ego. It does not mean your coach, judge, police guy, right? Yeah, the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So lead by willingness. Guilt is the witness to your misperception. By following the feeling of guilt, you stay within the web of misperception.
Do you see that as a perceptual loop?
Well, yes. You know, it's. I want. Yes, with a caveat. Hey, George.
No caveats.
It's funny because when we're like when we're coaching ourselves or beating up on ourselves or whatever it is we want to call it, because we're not doing what we think we ought to be doing spiritually, we think that's not the voice. So we want to place that in a whole separate category. You know, oh no, that's just my, you know, my healthy ego or my healthy conscience telling me I ought to work harder. So it is within the perceptual loop in that it keeps you believing you're a person. You know, as we talked about on Sunday, because we read NTI, 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, let's see, every thought that comes from the mind, this is on page 433, every thought that comes from the mind of the person is misperception, because the belief that you are a person is the greatest misperception of all. Oh, look, mom made it. I see her elbows. But yeah, so it keeps you in that perceptual loop to the extent that you believe that you're a person trying to become enlightened. You know, if that's your starting point, it's awful hard to get out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the whole world's believing that, so it's most people would look at you like you're crazy if you said, well, I'm not a person.
Yeah, but you remember, we've talked about this many times, that Regina and Laurent went to Holy Spirit and said, what's wrong with our relationship, or make him do this, or whatever question they went with, and Holy Spirit said, you have got to quit seeing each other as persons. You know, that is the fundamental mistake.
So tell me what you think you see the other person. tell me what you see, that entity. Or do you see that entity? Do you see the fabric? Do you just, are we just seeing awareness that there is some singular individual?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. We've talked about this so many times, so let's see if we can break that down. What's helpful for me at this point is to see everybody doing just the very best that they can, trying to hear over that loud voice that speaks in their ear. So, you know, if it's me against you, then, you know, I'm right and you're wrong, and you just shouldn't say such nasty things, and da 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 da. You know, it's just a different way of, you know, of relating. It's like me as opposed to you is one way of seeing. And then the other way of seeing is going, I see where ego got you on that one, or got me on that one, or, you know what I mean? This is not very clear. Do you know what I mean?
What's Rella saying?
Maybe I don't know. And Rayla says, maybe a realization that we are one. I'm just another you. Exactly. Yeah.
I think as much as anything, it's just having to be totally present, not somewhere else.
That's an excellent point.
If I'm totally, if you got 100% of my attention, then we're about as connected as we can be. It would seem.
That's a beautiful point, Connie. It's well made, because, you know, what takes you away from, bless her heart. Did you know Connie was sick, Marge? You know, awful. because if you're, what takes you away from being 100% present is the I, me, mine thoughts.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, going somewhere else, not being present. Yeah. Going somewhere like judgments, or going to, up in that mind that's going to tell you about the person you're with, or yourself compared to that person.
Right.
Okay.
Poor baby. All right. Willingness is the witness to your light. By following your willingness, and we're on page 434, by the way. Willingness is the witness to your light. By following your willingness, you are led from the confusion of misperception into the clarity of light. Follow the true desire of your heart. Stay with it and do not let it out of your sight. In this way, you are not confused by goals that seem grand, but lurk within the shadows of misperception. You stay focused with a beacon of light and you walk through misperception without being distracted by it. Yeah, and again, this is what Regina talked about a couple of weeks ago in her, Regina's talked about it. Confusing the goal. You know, if I want to be well respected, if I want to be the one with the right answers, if I want to be in charge, all these little goals get in the way. You know, if I just want to be feel loved by you, right? And that's why that St. Francis prayer is so powerful. You know,
what is it? Froze up. Everybody froze up. Dawn didn't. George didn't. Barge, you frozen?
Jacqueline, you froze.
We're all unfroze. You're froze.
I see Marge blinking. I see George smiling. Only Jacqueline's froze. Oh, there you go again, George. Hey, we got one mind. Finish your thought.
Oops, she's out. Okay. Well, again, I would say that what's going on, what needs to go on, and I practice this. I just made a long trip, drove down to Valdosta back. And one of the things that I was practicing on my trip was not having any agenda. Now, you can't have a whole lot of agendas when you're driving in your car, but you'd be surprised the things that pop up. Oh, I want to get around him. Oh, he's pulling out. He's a big truck. I don't want to be by him. I mean, on and on and on and on. So, I was amazed in that circumstance how many agendas I had. My computer screen's telling me my internet's unstable. So we'll see. Okay. Let's see where we are. I don't think we got very far, do we? Let's start with five. Willingness is the witness to your light. By following your willingness, you led from the confusion of misperception to the clarity of light. Yeah, it seems to me that willingness just means that you're open to the possibilities. Whenever you're willing, you're open to the miracle that's going to see everything from a different from a divine perspective. So, willingness is a witness to your light. So if we can stay in willingness. There's another good practice, it seems to me. Hey, Jacqueline. You're muted. There you go.
Yeah, thanks. Internet just dropped out. Dawn, that may mean you need to restart the radio. Yeah, sorry. Oops. It just dropped out.
All the great teaching I did while you were gone?
I bet it was fabulous.
Was. All right, we're on verse 5.
Okay, let's do it.
Go ahead.
All right, follow the true desire of your heart. Stay with it and do not let it out of your sight. In this way, you're not confused by goals that seem grand, including being a great teacher, being a great spiritual student, right? Oh, I'm making progress now. Yeah. Follow the true desire of your heart. Stay with it and do not let it out of your sight. In this way, you are not confused by goals that seem grand, but lurk within the shadows of misperception. You stay focused with the beacon of light, and you walk through misperception without being distracted by it.
Yeah, I think we're still talking about where we're giving our attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust is the armor of the righteous. All right, let's read on. let's get some explanation on that. Humble yourself in trust under God's mighty hand. Let all of your fears go because they serve no purpose that you desire. Walk in peace with peace as your only shield. This is the way of trust. So let's talk about that for a minute. Right, Rayla? Yeah, I was hearing this. Rayla repeated, peace is your only shield. Wow. Yeah, because the bottom line is, you know, why do we listen to the voice? Why do we listen to the voice that goes, you know, you really should take offense at what she said, or you need to do this better, or boy, did you do that good, or love me, love me. I mean, whatever the voice is saying, why do we listen to it? Because we believe that that's where our safety lies. We believe that this voice is going to give us directions as to how to get what we need. And if we're going to turn from that voice, if we're going to turn our attention from, you know, the dictates of that voice, then we have to have something to turn to. And the fear is there's nothing to turn to. So you have to, it's that leap of faith. You have to assume if you don't keep doing the stuff that you've always done to keep yourself safe, loved, secure, whatever, that there's something else to rely on. And you go, well, if I don't listen to my thinking mind, oh my God, I won't even know, you know, I don't know how to get out of bed in the morning. I don't know how to make coffee. I don't know how to, you know, book an airline flight. I don't know how to do anything without, you know, my thinking mind's the one that knows how, or my sister is the one that knows how to do all that stuff. and that's why, again, this is still talking about what is your goal? Is your goal to keep the self safe? Is the goal to keep the self from experiencing, you know, that's the other thing we talked about on Sunday that the thinking mind does. It's designed purportedly to keep you from experiencing pain. And that's why you do what the voice tells you to do. So you got to go, you want me to walk into the fear? You want me to feel the pain? Right? You don't want to do those normal things that I usually do to ward it off. That's why, yeah, to avoid it. That's why you have to trust what the masters have said, what your teachers have said, what NTI says. You have to trust that those things are true, or you would never undertake the journey. You would just keep doing the same stuff you've always done to protect yourself. Right?
Yeah. So when you were gone, I was talking to the class about not having any agendas, and I practiced doing that on this trip, and it was amazingly difficult. You wouldn't think it was if you're just behind the wheel of a car, but anyway. I think not having any agendas is part of being present.
Yeah.
Because having an agenda is having something going on in the future that I'm trying to attain. Can I give you my code?
No. No. Even if that's just, the avoidance of just, actually, it's a major reason we follow the voice, just avoiding pain. That agenda. I mean, and that seems like a reasonable agenda. Like you said a while ago, you say that to anybody in the world, they're like, hell yeah, I'm going to avoid pain. Are you kidding? So you have to trust that it's in your best interest not to avoid the pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, if you've ever seen anybody walk through that pain, it's and I'm sure you have, We used to have those, what do they call those sessions with Hoffmeister?
Oh, what did they call them? Expression sessions.
Yeah, expression sessions. And see somebody really caught up in their fear. And you're going, really? That's, why would you be afraid of that? But to them, it's monumental. Yeah. And they're quivering and they're shaking and they're, it's got their full attention. And, but my fear would be, the same to anybody else observing. You'd go, what, you know, but it's really amazing how our fear is so monumental. Yours is not so much.
Yeah, you're afraid of that? That's nothing. Let me tell you what I'm afraid of, because that's a real fear.
That's right. Yeah. You're right, Rayla. That's that ego.
Yeah, and George said, who is it that wants to avoid the pain, right? Yeah, who are we trying to protect? Yeah. All right.
Right on, George.
Be kind and gentle with yourself, forgiving your misperceptions as they seem to come upon you. Misperceptions are to be let go because they are not true. This is the path that leads you from misperception to true perception, and true perception is the reflection of light.
Yeah, and in my notes, I wrote, be kind and gentle with yourself and with everyone you perceive as outside of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, where are we?
We are 434, verses 10 through 11, 1 Peter chapter 5, bottom of 434. God will come upon you in your willingness to see nothing else. Again, it's that one-pointedness, that single-mindedness, that keeping the true desire as your beacon.
And I say again, it's opening yourself to the possibilities.
Yeah, do you want to say more about that? Because it's not immediately apparent to me. So,
well, to me, just willingness means that you're open to possibilities. You could have a miraculous experience just because you're open to the possibilities. It's not going to be the same-o.
Right.
But we get in such a rut and can't see past our own nose, because we're not present. So that willingness is going to open us to possibilities of the divine. I mean, you know, mystical experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything's possible. No, I have to go to this job I hate every day. No, you don't. Right. And who knows what happens then?
Yeah, because, see, without that willingness, you're not even open to the possibilities that there is something else.
Yeah.
I think that's what you were saying.
That is. Thank you.
Okay.
God will come upon you in your willingness to see nothing else. In God, you are free, because you are no longer hampered by the misperception that you are not free. And again, that's what they told us in the last chapter. It's like, you know, you make up the fact that you're a person and that you're limited and you're never going to get this. And I can't be kind because I was just born with an unkind disposition, whatever you think your limitations are. Right. So you make up this picture of what you look like, and then you stick yourself in the middle of it and go, nothing I can do. Yeah. So in God, go ahead.
We're so limited, we don't even know what those, we can't imagine unlimitedness.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beyond our perception.
Yeah. Well, and in our, I'm looking around as if it might jump out at me, and maybe it will. for today's dental healing homework, looking for words that don't seem to be coming. It said today's lesson was about three things that you believe. One is, let's see, this will be difficult. This will take time. Don, George, Rayleigh, anybody remember the third one? George is going to tell us, I think.
It's too slow to type. when the ego dies, I will cease to exist.
Very good. Thank you, George. Yeah. And, you know, the point is, none of these things are true. So, I did not remember that the third one was when the ego dies, I will cease to exist, but that's good. So we limit ourselves to this. It's too hard. I can't do this. It hurts too much. It's going to take way too long. And who would want to do that anyway? Because who am I getting rid of? Again, let me just read this sentence from NTI. In God, you are free because you are no longer hampered by the misperception that you are not free. So really, we think of this as a journey. We talk about it as a journey. And there are those who say, what journey? You know, you either are or you aren't. But to the extent that we can let go of believing in ourselves as persons who are limited by time and circumstance, and, you know, you can see how we place those limits on ourselves, and then we march according to that tune. Well, I'll get it. You know, if I just study really, really hard another 10 years, I'll get it. I'm sure.
Yeah, and you can see how that certainly isn't being in the present moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Again, Byron Katie, becoming enlightened to one thought at a time. That's all enlightenment is. She said that's all she knows about enlightenment. You're enlightened to one thought at a time. All right.
Yeah, and you're free one thought at a time.
Or bound.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, page 435, stand willing to let go of misperception through your willingness to see that you have misperceived. All right, let's talk about that one for a minute. You know, this movie, and if you guys didn't watch Revolver, do that. If you haven't seen it for a while, watch it again. Again, it's absolutely got the keys to enlightenment in the movie. But one of the, I put that away too. Huh?
That was a good class.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that they talked about is, you know, there's always in a con, there's always a victim and, I don't know, a perpetrator. That's not what they called it. But, you know, there's the one being conned and there's the one doing the conning. When the victim begins to suspect that they're being conned, they can't really get out of the con, extract themselves from the situation, because they have to admit that they were being conned, that they had been duped. So that's what's going on with us in this spiritual path, and why we might not be willing to see that we have misperceived, right? That's why we swear our allegiance to ego, why we continue to follow its dictates, even when we have said and we know we want something else. Because otherwise, that makes you wrong. If you've been doing this wrong for, I don't know, insert your age here, 57 years, right? It's hard to admit I've been wrong for 57 years. So I might fudge on just admitting that. It just engenders a certain allegiance to the con. Right? It says no one can admit that they're less intelligent, that they've been duped, not even to themselves. That's what we're seeing here. Right?
Exactly.
Stand willing to let go of misperception through your willingness to see that you have misperceived. It is the clearing away of misperception that helps you to see what it is that you do. As you see what you do in the clarity of light, you may do it in joy and in harmony with the oneness of your truth. This is your true desire, and this is the path of ascension into the realms of heavenly awareness. Amen.
It sounds like true perception is defined by the Course, wouldn't you say?
Yes, yeah, and it said that, it said that over here on page 434, this is the path that leads you from misperception to true perception, and true perception is the reflection of light, yeah. yeah, but you have to, you got to start somewhere. You remember, Connie, when we used to say, I'm willing to be willing? Because you got to start somewhere. So, I told Regina last night, we did our girls' night in thing at Danielle's. And we had worked on, we'd done some administrative tasks yesterday. And I'm like, oh man, it took me forever. I don't know why it took me so long. And she said, well, here's how I did it. And I'm like, no, that's not it. And she's like, well, maybe it was not. I'm like, no, that's not it. So, I saw it, but it was like, isn't that funny? Because I mean, why bother to ask the question? Why did it take me three times as long as it took you? If I don't want to know the answer, and I don't want to know the answer because I don't want to be wrong. I want to have done that right. It couldn't be something I did.
Yeah.
It's that allegiance where you just can't let go. You can't be wrong. Well, I.
Yeah, and we talked about this somewhere about thinking you know is a big restriction and will keep you limited, because if you think you know, then you're not open to an answer, even when you're asking for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when you're seemingly asking for it, yeah. And we talked about Adyashanti talking about, awakening is living in the not knowingness. And of course, and of course, what allows us to live in the not knowingness is trust.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like that. That was your reading. That was your reading for the class, your Sunday service, wasn't it?
It was 1 Peter 4. So it was the chapter before the one we just did. But yeah, it's not surprising that the theme is the same, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going, how close are we to finishing this thing? I don't think we're going to make it to the end, Connie.
We start in 2 weeks.
We're starting Gentle Healing Year 1 on February the 13th. Yeah.
13th?
I think. I don't know. Let me look. February the 12th.
Yeah, I'm right again.
I'm pretty sure it's the 13th. No, it's on a Tuesday, and the Tuesday turns out to be the 12th. So,
sorry, I didn't open myself.
All right, so let's look at Holy Spirit's interpretation of 2 Peter. This is on page 437. It is time that we speak of abundance, for you do not know what abundance is. As you reach for true abundance, you accept everything as you.
There you go. Right there, Peter's got the answer. Way to go, Peter.
Amen. In this, there can be nothing that is missing. Mm. You know, a major turning point for me was I heard Bentinho, actually he was talking here in Pueblo. He came here and talked to a little group of us. And I heard for the first time there, you know, again, doing this 30 years or more, 40, heard him say something about limitation is the problem. Our belief in our limitation is the problem. And, you know, again, it's one of those things that just clicks in a way that you can't quite put into words. But this is that same contrast right here. You know, we just talked about limitation and believing in limitation and being willing to let go of your belief in limitation and your belief in yourself as a person. And here's the contrast. It's abundance. And what does abundance mean? Abundance means accepting everything as you. It's what Rayla said a while ago. And in contrast with the lack and limitation that, you know, 99.9% of us live in, you know, I don't have to be worried about getting what's due me. I need what's due me. I don't have to worry about getting love from you. I don't have to worry about what's missing in this situation. I don't have to worry about what could be better, right? If I'm in full acceptance of the abundance of the universe, if I'm in full acceptance that I could not be lacking because everything is me. It's just such a contrast.
Well, thanks, Rayla. I didn't hear you say that, but that's awesome.
Yeah, and the Course in Miracles talks about the only thing that's missing in any situation is what you fail to bring to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is the same thing. If there's a lack, it's because you have perceived one, right? You've looked for what's a problem in this situation, which is the ego perspective on everything. And how can I fix it?
Right, and the fact that you can never be a victim is my limited way of trying to say the same thing too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not agreeing with the limited way part. All right. As you reach for true abundance, you accept everything as you. In this, there can be nothing that is missing. Abundance is full awareness of your divine nature. Abundance cannot be defined in any other way. Abundance cannot be defined within the limits of the world because abundance is unlimited and beyond all definitions.
Well, we.
It's powerful. Yep. Do not look to the world in your imagination as you attempt to grasp the thought of abundance. Look away from the world and the thoughts of the world, for it is only by reaching beyond limits that the limitless can begin to be known. Yeah, and so we want to do this. We want to improve the person. Oh, well, I'll just be just the nicest person in the world then. I'll just be super great, you know, super kind, super thoughtful. And, you know, again, the thinking mind would have us be super human and forget all about the divine part.
Yeah, the ego is definitely wants to put a definition on it so it's something we can do instead of just being – just being present to every moment that is totally there. So the universe can tell you what to do, not the world, but your universal mind, that link that you have with that.
Yeah, yeah. And a Course in Miracles might, the Course talks about it is, you know, trying to solve the problem from within the problem. You can't, because the mind can't expand to beyond what it knows.
Exactly. Excellent point.
For this reason, quiet the mind whenever it seems to stretch to imagine abundance within the world. I got to tell you what keeps coming to my mind. Marge will appreciate this, I think. Well, I don't know whether it was a Ruth Montgomery book or something from years ago where they talked about people would die and go to the other realm, and then they would like drive block long limousines. You know, they would imagine these houses all made of all completely out of gold. You know, yeah, that's what abundance is, right? Everybody everywhere loves me. I have everything that I could ever want. I got the red convertible. I got the big house. That's abundance, right? That's the ego's idea of abundance.
And I was thinking earlier that when we were in Peter 5, chapter 5, when it was talking about in the clear misperception, that helps you to see what it is that you do. You see what to do in clarity of light. You may do it in joy and harmony with the oneness of your truth. I was just thinking about Dad, and you know, we had that when Dad passed, there was all these people that was getting messages from Dad, and one of them was, I've never been freer in all my life as I am right now.
Yeah.
So, you would certainly think in that experience you would let go of your misperceptions. So.
Yeah, you're letting go of the limitation. At least you're not limited to this little piece of meat, right? For this reason, quiet the mind whenever it seems to stretch to imagine abundance within the world. When the mind is stretching in this way, it is stretching to limit itself even more. Rest the mind when it thinks of the world and return the mind to the heart. For the heart knows not of the world or the limits of the world. The heart knows only the song that it sings, and that this is the song that whispers echoes of the thoughts of abundance. Man, that just touches my heart. I can just, you know, it just fills the heart up when you get the head out of the way.
Yeah, and you can, and it's not hard to see how that would be at an awakened state.
Yeah, and as we talked about a while ago, how do you get there? One thought at a time, letting go one thought at a time.
Yeah, being present in the moment.
It is the heart that knows abundance. For abundance is not of the thinking mind. Whenever the thinking mind thinks it has understood and defined abundance, know that the thought of abundance has been lost. In that moment, return the mind to the heart, which does not define, and so it does not know. Excuse me, so it does know. So it does know abundance. In that moment, return the mind to the heart, which does not define, and so it does know abundance. Yeah, and boy, can't you see that? Any attempt to place a definition on something is to limit it to that definition.
Right. Yeah, so that definition that I keep throwing back out there of willingness is just to be open to the possibilities.
Right, yes. Yes. I am the memory of all that is true of you. This memory is kept within the heart. I am the memory of all that is true of you. This memory is kept within the heart. Do not grasp at my memory with the thinking mind, for it has never been the heart, and so it cannot know the heart as the heart does. Instead, let the mind rest. that the heart may rise into awareness. In this way, your memory is returned to you. In this way, you recall the meaning and flavor of abundance.
Now, how hard can that be?
Easy peasy. I really like here how it, you know, it's like we're not going to try and define what abundance is. So I really, really, really appreciate this saying, when you let the mind rest, the truth of what you are will rise from your heart into your awareness. And you will get the flavor of abundance. You know, it's not something that can be defined. You don't, nobody's going to hand you a box and go, okay, now that you did that, here's the answers, right? You don't get the teacher's edition when you get there. What you do is...
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, what you do is when you fall back into the heart, you go, you know, it's a felt sense of the truth. It's not a definition.
Yeah, at one time you were talking a lot about expansion and contraction, and you can certainly see how that would play into this.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, the extension of love is what we are, what we do, the process that we are. And, you know, of course, you try and put words on it and it sounds more limited. It is us. But, and the contraction is its opposite. No, me, my, I, me, mine. Make sure I get mine. Yeah. But yeah, you can just feel the expansiveness in when you read this. It is through witness that you know. That which, this is fabulous, that which you taste as witness cannot be forgotten. For that which you witness is a part of you. Therefore, do not try to understand or comprehend or imagine without witnessing. Let go of trying and relax into allowing. Through allowing, you shall witness. Through witnessing, you shall know.
Yeah, that's a big old observer.
Yeah, well, and it's I don't know what I was saying 10 minutes ago, talking about how something had struck me like it was the first time I'd ever heard it, and that's what this is talking about. That's why, you know, when you try to explain something, you know, this is what I learned at the retreat, or this is what I learned at the Enlightenment intensive, or, you know, this thing that it feels like I just can't quite get the import of explained, even though I keep trying, about, you know, really seeing these thoughts as something other than me. It's, you know, it's like, it's, this is talking about a taste of, that which you taste as witness cannot be forgotten, for that which you witness is a part of you. It's just when, and every person in this room has done it, when you read something, you go, oh, I get that now. And it's not you get it in words. It's not that you can say the words to somebody else and they get it. You just, grok is often the word that's used. You just grok it. Okay. Yeah, you just feel it to your bones, you know? You finally get what forgiveness means.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, or whatever the issue is. And that's what this is saying.
It's kind of like a revelation.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
When the light comes on and you're no longer in darkness.
Yeah. So, and that's how it happens. That's how we progress, if you will, on this path.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to get it by fear. Oh, I finally found the word, you know, that means this, that it's going to explain the whole thing to you. That's just not how it works.
Yeah. Right. Good.
I want to read that paragraph again.
Okay. You may.
It is through witness that you know. That which you taste as witness cannot be forgotten, for that which you witness is a part of you. Therefore, do not try to understand or comprehend or imagine without witnessing. Let go of trying and relax into allowing. Through allowing, you shall witness. Through witnessing, you shall know.
Yeah, that's so great. Through allowing, you shall witness. There's no agenda. There's no making judgments on it. There's no victim. There's just allowing the present moment to be as it is.
Yes, exactly. And that's where what we talked about on Sunday. Script living versus script making.
Yes.
It's about the same thing, the living of it, the witnessing of it.
Right, because if you have an agenda or a formula, it's a whole lot more difficult to be in the present moment of just allowing.
It's impossible, in fact.
Okay.
Within you there is a star. This star is a very bright light. It was not made by you, but it was given to you as that which you could not lose. This is the key to your abundance. This is the prophecy that must be fulfilled, for this star is you, and it is all that is true about you. Everything else emanates from the star, be it seen or unseen, perceived in truth or misperceived. But the star is your truth, and that is abundance. Through knowing the star, you remember truth. Through truth, the meaning and understanding of abundance is known as a point of knowing that is beyond all possible definition.
I said, Peter's got it going on.
Yeah. Peter's got it going on, yeah. I got to tell you, Peter's really got it going on, and I think it would be a great idea to tape verses 16 through 18 on your bathroom mirror or on your forehead or on your computer screen or something. I think this is a reiteration of that in very poetic language. You know, the truth is inside you. That's the star, the spark that you've been given, right? And everything emanates from there. It's just a really sweet way of saying you've got to know it because it is you. It's in you. You get out of the way, and then you know it. You know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you have that revelationary experience.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Oh. And in those, what it was talking here about earlier about, you know, don't try to understand it or comprehend it or imagine it without, you know, because we've all had revelations, and you try and tell somebody else your revelation and it just falls flat. It is the message to you that you're one with all that is.
Yeah. Amen, Connie. Amen. I told both Tom and Ann this. What I was a little frustrated with Sunday. I haven't had an opportunity to listen to my message from Sunday, but it's frustrating because what I feel like I want to do is be like the mama bird that chews up the food and regurgitates it and spits it in your mouth. Ew, gross. But, you know, I mean, I just so want to be able to just like take that and it's just, I can't put it in words. So I'll say a sentence. I'm like, no, that wasn't it. And I'll say another sentence. I'm like, no, that wasn't it.
I think George is right. I think your message was perfect.
Oh, I see that. Thank you, George. That's sweet. Thank you, Connie. Yeah. Well, Here's Mama Bird signing off. I love you guys. We'll see you next week for our final Growing with NTI. The week after that, I think, will be our Gentle Healing Year One debut.
There you go.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting us share.